Allison Carter with the Milestones Podcast. Today is episode 13, and I will be talking about W-sitting. When I first decided to talk about this subject, I really didn't think too much about it. It is a topic that comes up all the time when I'm working in my practice as an occupational therapist with toddlers. By the way, if you haven't done so already, please check out my Facebook page and like it. I'm starting to add information on child development to the page, and many times the information will go along with the most recent episodes of my podcast. You can find it under My Midwest Therapy on Facebook. I am trying to incorporate research studies on some of the topics for my shows when I can. And when I was looking into research studies about W-sitting, I was only able to find one, which I will share with you in just a minute. But while I was searching for more research articles, I began to realize how controversial this topic really is with people. This is apparently a hot-button topic. People get pretty fired up about W-sitting. Who would have thought? There are opinions on all sides, and I want to help you weed through all of the opinions and try to get some perspective on it. I will try my best to do that for you. However, I want you to try and take the information with hopefully a new understanding of all sides and make it work for you and your kids. I want to make sure and explain what I mean when I use the term W-sitting so everyone is on the same page. W-sitting is where the child sits with their knees bent in front of them and their feet out behind them out wide so that their feet are on the sides of their bottom and their bottom is all the way on the floor. If you would look at the child from directly above them, it would look like their legs are making the letter W. Now, from what I've seen, there are four main groups of people weighing in on this topic. I'm sure there are lots of others, but these are the ones that I found the most. There are two main groups of parents, one group who says they aren't concerned about their kids W-sitting, and another group who say they see their child doing it and they don't think it's good for them to sit like that. There are also orthopedic physicians who are coming at this from a bone and joint perspective. And last but not least are the pediatric, occupational, and physical therapists. We have our perspective, which has to do with kids who have special needs, which means kids who have developmental delays or motor delays, and kids with sensory processing disorders, just to name a few, because these are the kids that we usually work with. We are concerned with their overall development, and to us, W-sitting is just one more factor to consider in the whole scheme of things. In case you're listening to me for the first time today, you may not know that I fit into this last group as an occupational therapist. Now, I have read some heated conversations on internet blogs about W-sitting and whether or not we should correct kids when they do it. I want people to be able to see that this is not a black and white issue. As with so many things in life, it seems like there are only two sides to the story. One is right and one is wrong. But I don't believe this to be the case with most things, and certainly not with this one in particular. We need to be able to see through what news articles are reporting to determine what the opinions are really trying to say. I will explain what I mean on this more in a few minutes. First, I want to talk about the only research article I was able to locate on the topic of W-sitting. I was not able to get a copy of the full article, only the abstract. So if anyone listening has a copy of the full article, it would be great if you would forward it to my email at Allison, A-L-L-I-S-O-N, at mymidwesttherapy.com, and I can post it for everyone else. Or if you have a copy of any other research articles out there on the subject of W-sitting, you can send those to me too. I'd love to take a look at them. I think I know why there aren't more scientific studies on this readily available, though, and you will probably agree with me after hearing my take today. But I'm guessing because there are so many factors that play into this that it would be pretty difficult to narrow down exactly what causes kids to W-sit or what happens as a result of W-sitting. I don't want 5 million emails telling me how I'm wrong, that's not how it is, or whatever. I'm not trying to tell you what's right or wrong today. I just want to give you as much information about it as I can, and you can decide for yourself how to use it in your life. The article that I found on the research study is called Relevant Factors Influencing Flatfoot in Preschool Age Children. It was published in the European Journal of Pediatrics in 2011. The study looked at how age, gender, obesity status, joint laxity, and W-sitting affects flat foot in preschool-age children. Joint laxity basically means that the child has loose joints. And flat foot is where the arch in the bottom of the foot is not developed, so the foot is flat. It is not uncommon for kids to have flat foot until they're around 5 years old. In this study, they looked at kids between the ages of 3 and 6 years old. They were all kindergartners in Taiwan. There was a total of 1,598 kids in the study, and they split them into three groups. One group was kids with flat foot on only one foot. One group were kids with flat foot in both feet. And the final group were kids with no flat foot. From what the abstract says, it says that kids who had flat foot in both feet showed less of a risk of having flat foot as I got older. So basically, more of the 3-year-olds had flat foot than the 6-year-olds. Also, in the group of kids with 2 flat feet, they had a higher risk of flat foot when their weight was higher than it should be for their age, and the risk was higher for boys than girls. In the group of kids that only had 1 flat foot, they determined that age and weight, or obesity, didn't seem to have any significant influence on whether or not they had 1 flat foot. In other words, it didn't prove that as they got older, the flat foot went away, and it didn't seem to matter if they were overweight for their age or not. The abstract did say they think more testing on, or more research on, kids with only 1 flat foot is warranted because of the results. In both of the groups, with 1 foot and both feet having flat foot, they had a higher risk of the flat foot if they were kids that use W-sitting, and if they had a higher joint laxity or loose joints. They did conclude that there is an association between kids with flat foot in both feet and their age, gender, weight, joint laxity, and W-sitting habits. Now, one thing I take from this is, and it goes along with my point for why there may not be many research studies done on the effects of W-sitting, the study had to consider 5 total factors, with W-sitting being only one of the factors in kids having flat foot. It is going to be very hard to have groups of kids to study because there are so many factors in why kids might be W-sitting. It would be difficult to control and measure each of these factors. So let me get to these now. First of all, there is a condition called femoral antiversion that shows up in some kids. This is where the thigh bone, or the femur, turns inward. If it happens, it usually shows up when kids are between 2 and 4 years old. This can continue up to around 8 years of age, and most of the time it will correct itself. It is more common in girls than boys. One of the clear signs is the kids will be pigeon-toed, where their feet will turn so their toes are pointing inward. Due to the position of the bones in the joints, kids that have this going on will frequently W-sit because it may be the most comfortable position for them. If this doesn't correct itself, the child will likely trip and fall a lot and walk and run with their feet turned inward. This factor, the femoral antiversion, I think is probably the main reason why an orthopedic surgeon would say not to worry about it when kids W-sit. In this case, they are mostly concerned with how the bones and joints look in the kids' legs and hips. From their perspective, they might say they wouldn't correct kids when they W-sit because it's not hurting their bones or joints by doing it. This makes sense based on what these doctors look for in kids. However, the bone and joint health is only one piece of the whole picture. It is a bonus if it is true that the bones and joints are not being damaged from the W-sitting position. However, there are possibly other concerns that these doctors don't treat kids for, so they potentially have a limited perspective on the whole child. I'm thinking that the orthopedic doctors that have been quoted in news stories as saying that it's fine for kids to W-sit are most likely talking about kids who don't have any other special needs or physical or developmental delays or issues. They're probably talking about typically developing children who will likely outgrow this because there are no other concerns or issues going on. It may be the case that kids who do not have any special needs or developmental or motor delays can use W-sitting without any future complications. I would say there are probably plenty of kids out there where this has been the case. Those of us who work with or are around kids who have special needs, we tend to err on the side of caution with this. Kids that have muscle weaknesses in their bodies may fall behind other kids their age. And using W-sitting may only make their battle to try and catch up, or even just to gain more strength, even more difficult. One example of the muscle weakness has to do with core muscle weakness. The core muscles are the ones that keep you sitting with an upright posture, so they're your tummy, side, and back muscles, basically. When these muscles are weak, kids have more of a slumped posture, and it can be difficult for them to keep their balance. Kids that have weaknesses in these muscles tend to sit using the W-sitting position because having their legs out wider helps keep their body more stable. They end up using the wider leg base instead of using their core, tummy, and back muscles to stay sitting upright. If you correct these kids and have them either sit with their legs crossed in front or straight out in front, they are more likely to bend forward, sit in a slouched position, or tip over. They will often prefer to stick their legs out straight in front, then move them so they are spread out wider than their shoulders. This is another way to get the wider base of support to make up for the weak core muscles. In this particular case, you will likely see them switch back to W-sitting the first chance they get because it is so much easier to use their legs instead of trying to work to strengthen their tummy and back muscles. It's pretty common for people to find the easy way out of things. I really don't blame them for doing this. The problem with this situation specifically is that when they sit using the wider legs or W-sitting, they are not using their core muscles much. This can be a problem because the more they sit like this, the less they use their core muscles. Therefore, they are never really working those muscles to get stronger and to increase their endurance for sitting using those muscles. This can be a real problem when they get to school and are expected to sit in a chair. I would expect them to have trouble sitting upright in their chair and will most likely lean back in the chair or slouch or slump down in it. They will not have built up the strength and endurance needed to hold a sitting position using their core muscles. One thing that goes along with this are their fine motor skills. If you don't have the core strength and stability to sit up and be steady, you will really struggle with doing fine motor skills as well. I see this so much with the kids that I work with. When we're trying to work in a different sitting position than the W-sitting, their ability to play with these toys using both hands at the same time goes way down. However, give them the same activity in a W-sitting position, and their skill with that activity will likely, and usually does, improve. Some activities that require both hands for kids are like putting Mega Blocks or Legos together and pulling them apart, managing lids on markers, stringing beads or lacing cards where you put a string through the holes to make things. Coloring, where you use one hand to hold the paper steady and color with the opposite hand at the same time. It can become a way for them to be able to do activities that they need to use both hands for and to be successful at the same time. This can be a good strategy at times, especially to help with their confidence. However, it is very important to make activities that help them activate and strengthen their core muscles a priority. This will help these kids in the long run, so they will have the appropriate base of support needed as they go through life doing activities that require more fine motor and handwriting skills. Another issue with the W-sitting is that it is very difficult to turn your body to reach across or even to reach beside or behind you while sitting like this. Being able to turn your body or your core area, this is usually referred to as trunk rotation, is important for developing the coordination between the right and left sides of your brain and body. One area in life where this is important is with getting yourself dressed and undressed, bathing, tying your shoes, or just generally reaching across your body to pick something up without falling over from losing your balance. It can make the crawling phase difficult for the little ones, too. I see some babies that crawl with their knees spread out very wide to the sides, or they never actually crawl on hands and knees with alternating or left and right hands and knees. But instead, they do more of a froggy hop or a bunny hop type thing. This is where they move their hands forward at the exact same time, and their knees follow after, also at the exact same time, but in a wide stance similar to the W position. Then, when they're done crawling or hopping forward, they simply just sit back and are already in their W sitting position. This could also be associated with the STNR reflex, the symmetrical tonic neck reflex, that I talked about in great detail in the previous episode on reflexes. These kids might also have a muscle weakness somewhere in their lower legs or hips area, which makes it hard for them to bring their legs closer together. This can also make it difficult when they start trying to pull up to standing at the couch or furniture, which usually comes up shortly after crawling. They have trouble getting their knees together to get up on their knees to reach the couch. This often leads to pulling up to standing by pushing off with both feet or legs at the same time, rather than putting one foot down and getting into like a half kneeling position to then push up to standing. There are also some kids who have issues with sensory processing that use W-sitting because it keeps their body and therefore their head more stable. Otherwise, they may feel like they're going to fall over if their body tips one way or another. This is most likely for kids who have trouble determining which way their head is in space. If you listen to some of my previous shows on sensory processing, you might know which one this is. Any guesses? It's vestibular sensory processing. But it could also have to do with proprioceptive sensory processing if the child has trouble figuring out where their body is in space, and therefore they have trouble keeping their body upright. This is not necessarily due to a muscle weakness, but more like, I can't figure out what my muscles are doing, or I can't coordinate the muscles to keep myself upright, so they use the W-sitting to compensate for that. One other thing to say about kids that W-sit, there are some kids with special needs that have motor issues or delays, and for one reason or another, based on their individual needs or abilities, they may not have the ability to strengthen or coordinate the core muscles needed to sit upright and maintain balance. In this situation, W-sitting could be a good way for them to get the stabilization needed to work on their fine motor skills or other skills appropriate for their age. They will likely also continue to address their needs and work on strength and endurance as well. I can say that as therapists for early intervention, we really discourage the W-sitting because we know that sometimes the kids we work with won't develop the strength or endurance they need if they are constantly or mostly sitting this way. If we can encourage them to sit in other ways to try and strengthen their core muscles, we will usually do that, hoping that it will pay off in the future and make their school-aged years and beyond a little easier. Whereas kids who are born without weaker muscles or who are born without special needs may be able to use W-sitting and move past it eventually without any thought because they naturally have the core muscle strength to sit without the support as well. So what should they do instead of W-sitting? If they have a core weakness, you should try to incorporate activities throughout your daily routine that encourages them to strengthen their core muscles. Depending on their specific age and abilities, some ideas for this could be simply crawling on hands and knees, also, holding the hands and knees position, not crawling but just staying in a steady position, reaching up with one hand to get toys while staying up on the other hand and both knees. And the knees should be just shoulder width apart. Practice getting from hands and knees to a standing position by putting one foot down on the floor for like a half kneeling position while reaching up with both hands to grab the couch or the person who is sitting on the floor in front of them. Then have them push up on that one foot to get up to standing. Practice this with each foot. You can have them play a game while side-sitting to each side. Side-sitting is with both knees turned to one side and both feet turned to the other side. They can lean on one hand for support on the side they are leaning to, but should practice sitting up and not leaning on the hand at times too. Sitting with their legs crossed in front, or crisscross applesauce as many people call it, try working on two-handed activities so they are not leaning on one or both hands for support while they're sitting like this. You can have them sit on a soccer ball or a playground-type ball where their feet might be flat on the floor in front of them and play a game or pop bubbles or read a book or whatever else they can do to sit on the ball and balance at the same time. Watch to make sure that their feet don't go back on either side of the ball. They should keep their feet flat on the floor in front of them. If you have a yoga ball or a therapy ball, you can help them sit up on the ball and hold their hips or thighs, bounce them gently up and down, tilt them slowly side to side and forward and back. You can have them lay on their tummy on the ball and push up on their hands. If they are bigger, they can put their hands on the floor while while on their tummy over the ball and reach for toys with one hand while holding weight on the other hand. These are just a few ideas to encourage core muscle activation and strength. This is not a complete list by any means, but hopefully it will help you get started and you can add to the list as it meets your family's needs. I will have some links in the show notes today for some resources related to the discussion today. Please find those on my website at mymidwesttherapy.com. Thank you so much for listening.